as promised, we're joined now by a football writer for Sports Illustrated. Good friend of the program. An author of a piece on Antonio Brown, which is currently up on SI.com. Robert Klemko is my guest. Robert, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jim?
Good, good. Listen, there's lots to discuss in your reporting on Antonio Brown because it's very thorough. It's very well reported. There are more than two dozen interviews, reviewing police reports, and so on. Before we get to the content itself, when did you start working on this piece, and what kind of thoughts did you have going in?
You know, about 20 days ago, we got an email from a tipster in the, I guess you'd call it the athletic training community, who said that he knew of a couple people who had worked for Brown and hadn't been paid. So we reached out to those people because we thought it was interesting that, you know, somebody who is worth over $60 million is allegedly not paying debts. So then we started calling folks, leaving messages, talking to lawyers, and then slowly but surely, lawyers started getting back to us and connecting us with new clients and clients that were filing suit against Antonio Brown for debts as low as, you know, $2,000. One woman who declined to file suit said that he stole a painting worth $700 from her foundation. And then through that woman, we were connected with the artist of the painting who had this story to tell about Antonio Brown walking up behind her naked as she painted in his home.
We're talking to Robert Klemko. All right, so let's talk about that for a minute. In June of 2017, he hosts a celebrity softball game, and it's to benefit a Pennsylvania nonprofit. At the event, which also included the auction, one of the items to bid on was that portrait of Antonio Brown. So, like, starting right there, Robert, what did he think of that portrait, and then what did he do after connecting with the artist?
Right, so he sees this portrait at the celebrity softball game for auction, and somebody buys it for $450. And it's of him catching a football, and he says, no, I want it in my house. And he offers to pay $700 for it. And he takes notice of the artist, gets her phone number, and then contracts her $1,000 a day to come to his home and paint a second piece that's a mural of him on his wall. And in the second day, you know, after flirting with her and her not returning it, he walks up behind her while she's on all fours with a small hand towel covering his genitals, and she ignores him. She tries to change the subject. She continues painting, and then when he realizes that it's going nowhere, he fires her and declines to pay the $700, the original $700, for the painting. So this charity is out the $450 they would have got to benefit children in literacy that this other guy would have paid, and Antonio Brown has the painting and won't pay.
Robert Klemko, my guest. Robert, it seems utterly absurd that I would even follow that with this or even say this, but I've been on Twitter. I see what people think. I see what people say. So I'm just going to say this. There might be people listening, incredible as it seems, who would say he was simply messing around. He was just having some fun. It was a prank. What would you say to that? And did the artist feel like it was a prank?
Yeah, you know, the reason that she wanted to talk about this, and you know, we reached out to her. She was kind of resolved to not talk about this ever again. And she never told police or anything because he never touched her. But the reason she wanted to talk about this is because, you know, an unfortunate reality of her job and a lot of people's jobs out there is that, you know, you get hired to do a certain thing and then you figure out at some point that the person that hired you is only interested in having sex with you. And so she's, you know, painting this mural and he's promoting it on Instagram Live and she thinks she's about to, you know, have some success in her career. She's a struggling artist. And then she turns around and she sees Antonio Brown naked and she says, oh, that's what this was. So, you know, if you think that's a joke, I recommend not trying to pull it off.
Robert Klemko is joining us. So she is not pursuing charges or remuneration on the matter. As you point out, she really didn't even want to talk about it. But when you couple this with the lawsuit filed by his former trainer, Brittany Taylor, is there a pattern emerging?
You know, the reason that she even heard about the Brittany Taylor case and the alleged rape case, because she's not a football fan, is that friends that she had told about the Antonio Brown incident back in 2017 saw the detail of Antonio Brown coming up behind this woman and ejaculating on her back and remembered her story because the beginnings of it were similar. You know, it's not up to me to say that there's a pattern there. There's certainly a pattern of debts owed by Antonio Brown everywhere he goes. I mean, you know, from $2,000 to a guy who installed piranhas in his home, and then Antonio Brown allowed them all to die, and the guy had to come after midnight and clean them all up, to $38,000 to a chef, allegedly, who Antonio Brown suggests, or who suggests Antonio Brown made a mafia-style death threat against his life, and the chef thinks it was just a way to get out of paying the bill. There's definitely a pattern of Antonio Brown mistreating working-class people.
We were talking to Robert Klemko. So, Robert, there have also been reports that there were months of communication between representatives for Taylor and Brown as it relates to a possible settlement. So the lawsuit was not a surprise to Brown's camp. Through anonymous sources, the Patriots have tried to make it very clear that they did not know anything about Brittany Taylor allegations before they signed Antonio Brown. What's your reaction when you hear that?
Well, let me just say that I don't know, you know, for a fact either way whether Robert Kraft knew or Bill Belichick knew, but I know that Drew Rosenhaus has had a lot of clients go through New England. He has clients on the roster right now. He's going to have draft picks there. He's going to have free agents go there in the future throughout the rest of his career. So, you know, for most people that look at that, who know how Rosenhaus operates, who just know in general how the NFL operates, to think that Belichick, at the very least, wouldn't know that this was coming down the pipe, that there was that there may be a sexual assault lawsuit against Antonio Brown before he signed him, it's beyond the pale. I just don't see it happening.
Robert Klemko is joining us. I agree with you. Now, when the lawsuit became public, the Patriots released a statement that issued the following, quote, "We take these allegations very seriously. Under no circumstance does this organization condone sexual violence or assault," end of quote. So if they did know before signing him, Robert, what does that say about the Patriots? And if they didn't know and still decided to play him days after this came out, what does that say about them?
Well, you know, I think that if Rosenhaus did disclose this thing, and they were, you know, fully briefed on this entire thing, that he probably made the argument that this is something that they could easily beat, that there's not a criminal charge pending here, and that we have the goods to make this go away at some point. If they didn't know, which I don't think is true, then somebody in their security department needs to get fired, because it took about 4 phone calls to find, you know, a bunch of these people who are alleging misconduct against Antonio Brown. And there are more than just Drew Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown and Darren Heitner, his lawyer, who know about the sexual assault lawsuit. You know, we heard about it from assistants, former assistants of his, videographers, who all were aware of it before it came out.
You know, as you write also, quote, "Brown's run-ins with police became stranger and more frequent over the past 2 years." End quote. For example, in April 2018, police came to his house on 3 consecutive days for incidents that allegedly involved the theft of a bag containing $80,000, throwing furniture from a 14th floor balcony, and the theft of his Rolls Royce. Robert, like, exactly what happened during those 3 days?
Yeah, I mean, your guess is as good as mine. Antonio Brown goes down to Florida and all hell breaks loose. You know, it speaks to kind of the fear of having him on your roster throughout an entire offseason. I think that what the Patriots are hoping to get out of this situation at the best is a season of Antonio Brown on the field and then the ability to cut ties with him and not be responsible for anything he does after he gets a paycheck and he's in the Miami area.
We're talking to Robert Klemko for a few more moments. Robert, like, as you point out in the piece, his childhood is a topic that does not get talked about very much. Based on your reporting, what was life like for him growing up?
Yeah, man, I think it was hard. You know, like a lot of guys in the NFL, he had it hard growing up in Miami. He dealt with intermittent homelessness, was kicked out of his home by his stepfather, lived with high school coaches and teammates off and on, was described as somebody who gravitated to authority figures that he respected and was somebody who needed to lean on mentors like assistant coaches in high school and coaches and chaplains in college in order to stay on the straight and narrow. The kind of scary thing is that when you talk to some of those people now, which I did for the story, they say that, you know, they've lost contact with Brown here in the last 3 months, and they think that something is going on in his life something deeper here that hasn't been reported that's affecting his decision making.
Yeah, to that point, I want to own this. And I want to be honest. Like, I used to have him on this show quite a bit earlier in his career. He always showed up. He always did a nice interview. He was always a bit of a character. And I've always said, you know, we really don't know these people. We certainly do not know these people based on what we see on TV. So based on your reporting, has he changed over the years, or is this who, in effect, he's always been?
You know, teammates in Pittsburgh say that he really did change over the course of his pro career, and a couple of them ascribed it to, you know, getting more and more money, getting wealth, becoming comfortable financially. Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, you're absolutely right. We don't know these people. And I didn't interview Antonio Brown. I just talked to a bunch of people that know him and dealt with him at different stages of his life. I think there's a lot more to this story, and we've just begun to scrape the surface.
You know, Twitter is not the best place for objective and thoughtful responses. I think we know this, especially with a powerful writing and reporting. But I'll go ahead and ask anyway, what kind of feedback have you received on Twitter for this piece?
You know, I think a lot of Raiders fans and Steelers fans are really relieved that he's no longer on their team. A lot of people just, like me, kind of find the circumstances bizarre that somebody that's worth this amount of money would behave this way. Kind of the most disturbing thing is Patriots fans who think that we ran this story as some sort of vendetta against the New England Patriots, some sort of effort to hurt their Super Bowl chances. You know, first of all, these things take more than 5 days to write. And I turned this in 5 days after he signed with the Patriots. And second of all, the Patriots are probably going to the AFC title game, whether they have Antonio Brown at wide receiver or some Division III lacrosse player at wide receiver. So it's the idea that we're trying to tear down the pass is ludicrous. You can't tear down the pass.
You know, one more thought when it comes to working on pieces like that. The last time you came on, we talked about that powerful and disturbing piece that you wrote about Kellen Winslow Jr. This piece also is very, very heavy. What's it like for you to work on pieces like this?
You know, I think you just have to approach them really carefully and approach the individual people that are involved really carefully, because you don't know what people have gone through and at what point in their life or what experience they had with this subject that you're writing about. So you just be very cautious and try to assure people that you're going to present their story the way that they, you know, the way that they're happy with, the way that they intend, the way that's fair. You know, when you go into a locker room after a football game, it's pretty straightforward. But when you're knocking on random doors and calling random phone numbers, it's a little more complicated, but definitely more challenging.
He is a football writer for Sports Illustrated, good friend of the program, and you want to see this piece. It's up on SI.com right now. Thorough investigative reporting about Antonio Brown. Robert, really nice job as always. Thank you so much, and great to have you on this show.
Always appreciate it, Jim.
You too, Robert. Appreciate it very much. Great job. Robert Klemko joining us. All right, your thoughts and your reaction to it? It's a very heavy piece. It's a really disturbing piece, and it's an extremely well-reported piece.